Welcome to Get in the Herd, a podcast about addiction and recovery brought to you by the McShin Foundation. If you or a loved one are looking for real discussions about addiction, recovery, stigma, advocacy, and most importantly, hope, then stick around. Thanks for joining us. Now sit back and get ready for another great episode of Get in the Herd.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the award-winning recovery podcast, Get in the Herd, brought to you by the McShin Recovery Resource Foundation. Today, on our special early morning, well, 10 a.m. early morning episode, we have two incredible women in recovery here today joining us. And so to my right, sort of my co-host slash boss slash sister from another mother slash good friend and now published author, the CEO of the McShin Foundation, Honesty Liller over here. I know, right? And then joining us through the magic of the interwebs, we have Caroline Beidler, joining us. And today she is soon to be a published author, which is awesome. And we're going to talk about that. But Caroline is coming to talk to us about global women's recovery and the women's, what is it, the International Women's Day on March 8th, 2022, which is very exciting. And so welcome to the show, Caroline. Thank you for coming and joining us today. Tell us, what have you got going on?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I love your podcast. I love McShin. You know, seeing that intro video always brings me back to the first time I've learned about McShin, which was watching The Anonymous People. And so then the first time I met John, and I think, honestly, I'd run into at an event, I was like kind of, I was trembling. I was shaking. I was so nervous because you all are like recovery rock stars to me. So anyways, I just feel like, you know, you all are just this model across the nation and really globally for recovery support. So it's truly an honor to be talking with you all today. So I'd love to chat about the event, you know, books, all of it. And honesty, you know, I feel like we are sisters doing this recovery journey. I know it's kind of remotely. I follow you on social media, but I feel so connected to you and just to all the women out there doing this thing, because recovery advocacy and just our own personal recoveries, you know, it's hard. And to do it in community is just such a beautiful experience. And I've tried to do recovery the other side of things, isolated, alone, not in a community, and it didn't work out so well. wasn't able to maintain that. So now on the opposite side, you know, that's a part of why I'm so passionate about bringing other women together, because I know the reverse side of it and how painful it is to not be a part of a community. So, hey, let's work on building community in today's world. So I'm really looking forward to talking with you more today about all sorts of things.
Yeah, communion. First off, today is the day of love.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. You know, every day is a day of love around here, though. But, you know, the biggest thing for me, one of the biggest things about my recovery, I guess, is like being able to connect with other women like me. And being able to connect on a national level is so super cool. And, you know, we met through, you asked me to do the Bright Story Shine. So we're going to put her website up throughout this podcast. So please check out that website. It has so many useful tools and resources, but also some very impactful stories as well. And, you know, so that's where our relationship kind of started, and I threw that out there. And then from there has become an organic thing, because You said the word community. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, what requires, besides love, the second is like community, having a community of love and loving one another, you know, across the board, because there can be so-called competition in this space, money, everybody, you know, the money situation, or like differences of opinion. And the bottom line, you know, I feel in my personal and professional careers, helping humans, like my bracelet. You like my bracelet?
Oh, just yeah.
Love humans. I had a gift card for like 2 years for Nordstrom. I do not shop there, but God bless you. So I got this bracelet with it online. But, you know, being able to reach, you know, first off, this podcast goes into 48 jails across the United States, as well as we have over 10,000 followers, McShen's and all the other outlets that we do. So it goes to a lot of people, and specifically the incarcerated population. It's important for us, you know, to give them, we're hope dealers, you know, give them glimpses of hope, you know, while they're incarcerated. So hopefully they can acclimate into our community when they get out. We also have three jail actual recovery programs now. So COVID kind of kicked our butt. Now we're back in two more jails, but three total, trying to just help the men and women, you know, try to succeed in life and not get reincarcerated. So I just like to throw that out there, that Justin works, our producer, very hard to upload all of these for the jail systems to put on the tablets. So shout out to Justin. We love Justin on Valentine's Day and every day.
That is just beautiful and so incredible. And I love that you bring up love. It is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. And, you know, when I was single out there struggling, trying to find my way, I didn't like Valentine's Day, honestly, because I felt like there was all this pressure. You know, you had to have all this love coming from outside of you. And you weren't, you know, for me, I didn't feel value unless I had someone outside of me saying that. And what's beautiful about recovery, and you mentioned, you know, recovery and community with other women, one of the things that's been so healing for me and what I've found is that that love comes from inside of me. You know, that I don't need those things externally outside of myself to give me that love. You know, as a woman in recovery, I went down many roads of, I don't know how to phrase this on air, but bad relationships, you know, unhealthy relationships, making poor choices when it came to, you know, relationships with men and others, you know, always seeking. And then my addiction, my substance use, you know, always seeking something outside of myself to, you know, fill that need in me. And I have found that peace in recovery. For me, that's a higher power, you know, my relationship with God. And I talk a lot about that on my blog, Bright Story Shine, just my pathway of recovery, and faith is a huge part of that. But yeah, it's wonderful that you're bringing this message of hope to places and to people who need it. We all need it. You know, I still need it even after over a decade in recovery. I need hope and that love that comes from recovery every day.
Yeah. And I think we do that very well here at the McShen Foundation, but also I think as us humans out in the world, you know, recovery teaches us. I say this all the time here, you know, everyone has their own little niche, I guess, around here, but recovery teaches us so much more than just not using drugs anymore. I mean, it's like that inner love. And, you know, a lot of years in my recovery, I still did not love myself. I didn't feel like I was a good enough wife, a good enough mother, you know, a CEO once that happened, like all these things that for women specifically, I mean, men have their stuff too, but women, like, you're supposed to do, right? So I've done a really good job of, like, and I see you through social media and the things that you're doing, it's like unpacking what true love for yourself is. And I didn't know all that. And I was a hardcore 12 stepper. I came through McShen. I wouldn't be here with any of those. But the past like 3 years, I've really dove in to like really ripping apart of what I thought love truly was for myself. And now it's like becoming, you know, writing the book and everything is becoming more of a beautiful, organic, big pink flower, to be honest with you, because it's so much damage I've done to myself in recovery and through my addiction of just not loving myself, just not loving my body, just not loving, like, and being grateful for the life that I have, you know, throughout, you know, my recovery. And then I just kind of had this, I call it an unspiritual awakening about 3 years ago, instead of a midlife crisis, because I am only 41. but I had that a few years ago, and, you know, it was a very dark, hard time, you know, in my life, and it's in my book and stuff too, but it was like, okay, I'm in recovery. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I have all these responsibilities. People are looking up to me, but in my insides, I still, couldn't look at myself like with a sports bra and shorts or whatever, working out, like, you know, just, I've had like horrible body image since I was like 8 or something. So like, I really had to like change a lot of things about myself. And that was some inner healing that I had to do. Me and my husband went to marriage therapy, which helped out tremendously because we met in rehab 16 years ago. So like our relationship, and again, read it all in my book, Scattered Pink. It's on Amazon. It's out on 2/22/22. But, you know, we really had to dive in into a lot of childhood trauma and like, what, how does your childhood trauma incorporate the parent that you are today, or the woman, man, or whatever, you know, throughout your life? Like, how does that affect? And I thought I worked through all of that stuff, you know, and step work and stuff. And it was like, wait, maybe I didn't. And then like when we went to therapy and kind of, so it's like a beautiful thing to really love yourself. And I can honestly say, like, some days I'm like, bitch, what'd you just say to myself? You know, there are some days still like, what? Wait, what? And, but then it was like, you know, making prompt amends. For example, really quick, at the dentist, orthodontist the other day, my son is 12 and has braces. The lady was like, did you do your COVID? You got to do all this form. And I was already irritated because my daughter had a major surgery and the medical bill came in. It was $162,000, which my insurance was going to pay. I mean, I'm going through all this battle with insurance, right? But this tells you humans are humans. And I'm publicly admitting to what I did yesterday, 2 days ago. So I got that, drove him to the orthodontist. I'm thinking, you know, is this ever going to go away? She will never be able to pay one stick. I can't pay that. You know, so anyway, so it's like the things that we're supposed to give to God or whatever you believe in. It's like, it was hard for me it's hard for me still when it comes to finances, I guess. And so she's like, did you fill out the COVID form? I was like, I don't know. Can't you check that? And I was just the biggest like snobby bee. And like, I get angry when I am in fear. I get like anxiety and then all these other character defects come out. And so then I was really just short with the lady, you know, and I sat there. My son was like, gosh, he was like, I don't know what he said exactly. He was like, what's your prob or something? And I don't know what he said, but I was like, damn, I just did that in front of my 12-year-old son. I was like, he is right. Am I going to tell him he's right? No. But he went back, came back out when we were checking out. I looked at the lady. I said, I am so sorry for being short with you. I said, I didn't even blame it that I had a lot going on. I own my shit, you know, made prompt amends and showed my son how to do so, that we're imperfect humans, but we also can, you know, heal our pain and don't take it out on other people. And if you do, really, truly mean it. And I touched the lady's arm and it was a whole thing, but it just tells you, you know, recovery and just being a decent human is like the things that we have to work on every single day. So I'm just telling you here, the lady at Dr. Bird's office, she knows who she is, you know, and I, you know, and she was good with it, you know, but I think it's like important, you know, as a parent to kind of like show our children, you know, that we're imperfect as well, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you have twins. So how does that work?
They are adorable, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yes, Henrik and Violet. So they are my joys and my lights. You know, I didn't get married till 36. So I had focused a lot on my career and stuff. And after getting sober, I went back to school and, you know, all these wonderful things happened. They're just amazing. And motherhood, yes, has definitely challenged my recovery and brings out kind of some of those character defects, you know, on a regular, I want to say a daily, definitely basis. Mm-hmm. But honestly, you know, listening to you share a little bit, reinforces to me just how the experience for women in recovery, we have like your beautiful image, your book Scattered Pink with a beautiful pink flower on the cover. I just love that. But all the different petals, you know, or pieces of our recovery stories, because mine also includes, you know, disordered eating and having issues with body image. And it includes experiences of sexual violence that are unique to women. And it includes, you know, being in very unhealthy relationships and now motherhood and being a wife and all of these things. And one of the reasons I started Bright Story Shine, which is my blog, and started writing about my experience in recovery and just in life, is because I was needing myself to hear more women share about their own stories, like you just did, you know, share openly and honestly about your struggles and when those times come up. And, you know, I have something similar. I won't go into details, but my husband was here. He would laugh. I cannot order Chinese food. Okay. And all I'm going to say in for the, we live in a small town in Tennessee. There's a woman at the Chinese restaurant. I think she doesn't like me, or like she gets really annoyed with the way I order, but she's always like kind of going off, and we had a little altercation, and she's a very sweet woman, you know? Anyways, so I have those moments too. We all do, but you know, it's just this experience that we have as women. And so I started Bright Story Shine because I myself wanted to hear more from other women about their experience, because when COVID started, honestly, I started struggling in my recovery and I had to kind of go back to the basics. Up my meetings, reach out for more support. I started doing a lot of virtual things and I started giving back in new ways of like, you know, reaching honestly when I reached out to you and encouraging other women, hey, let's get on this platform and let's start telling our stories. I started writing my book and all of these things because, you know, and no offense to the fellas in the room, but, you know, in a lot of spaces, especially on the national level, there's a lot of us out there doing all of the things. And usually that doesn't involve being kind of out there in the spotlight, you know, getting a lot of attention for our recovery efforts and things like that, which is great. You know, that's not why I do what I do. And at the same time, a lot of times those voices get lost, especially women of color. You know, we don't see enough women in other diverse communities sharing about their experience. And that's one of the reasons why hopefully the Women's Global Recovery Roundtable will bring women from all across the board. Now it's going to be translated in 3 languages, y'all. I can't believe this. Live translated in Spanish and Portuguese, because there's such a huge number of women coming from Brazil specifically, and also other countries in Latin America. But you know, we need to be out there to share our stories. For I believe I'm very single-minded focused, because we need to reduce the stigma around addiction recovery and other issues that women face, like, you know, body image, like issues with insecurity. And, you know, I've been told, you know, you're too nice. You know, I'm always trying to like make sure everyone's okay. You know, the lady at the Chinese restaurant, you know, I'm like obsessing. Why does she not like me? You know, I'm trying to like.
Nice. I was like, that's Nathan.
I'm too nice.
He's always focused on everybody else and helping everyone.
Well, you know, there's a lot of positivity to being kind and empathic. I'm going to reframe that. you know. Anyways, I'm kind of all over the board here, but there's so many issues that I think need to be highlighted when it comes to recovery, because I don't know if you all have seen the recent articles, the New York Times and other places, they're showing that rates for women for drinking specifically, and I'm sure other substances, are skyrocketing. And we know that along with addiction comes trauma, comes sexual violence, all of these things for women. So right now, women in our world are really struggling. And so we need to kind of step up, I believe, and really be more vocal and out there talking about these issues.
Mm-hmm. You got a question? So what is March 8th and how is that going to impact? If you just want to take a rundown, and again, we're going to put her website on and you can register for this, or can people still register for the free? It's a free event.
It's free.
You talk about that. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So March 8th is International Women's Day, you all. And I started talking, yes, I love it. I started talking to women across the country. This was probably about a year ago now, saying, hey, do you want to do something like this? Hey, what do you think about getting together? Hey, you know, and I kept hearing the same thing over and over again. Yes, you know, I feel like we don't have a seat at the table. Yes, let's do this. So what we've all created together, and I've been kind of in the lead planning role. I'm pretty type A, so I love, you know, like the nitty gritty detail-y type stuff. So I'm having a good time doing it. But, you know, The main purpose of the event is to come together around a virtual table and highlight women's recovery. So there will be, we have over 30 speakers, you all. So around a virtual table sharing, you know, little snippets of what's important to them, their own pieces of their own story, what they're doing in their community, in their local community, in their country. And it's really just going to be this beautiful celebration. And you know, I wanted to make sure it's completely free. It's free to partner. Really, you can still be a partner organization if you'd like. Just commit to sharing with your networks. You know, it's just hopefully going to be a time where we can really highlight and celebrate and shine a light on women's recovery issues. So registration will be open, I believe, until the 1st of March. So if you all need to sign up, you need to do that quickly. There is a limited space. So, you know, Zoom only, you know, can handle how many people. So if you all want to register, do that soon. I would love to have it available. I don't know if there's a way to connect with some of the jails that you work with. But I think, you know, for anyone, it would be a very positive, beneficial thing to listen to, whether you're, you know, a behavioral health provider or a person in or even seeking recovery.
Yeah, I don't know if we can get it live streamed with the jails, but maybe there's a way for us to like record it, or if you have a recording mm-hmm. afterwards, we can put it, upload it to mm-hmm. our, with your permission, I guess mm-hmm. we could up.
I think we could probably make something like that happen, kind of like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. just, you know, facing a camera on the, yeah, we could definitely make something happen.
Yeah, we would probably just get you to sign like permission since it's not McShin owned or anything, but that would be so radical for these women.
And we could break it up because it's what, it's 4 hours, I think, isn't it? 2 to 6?
It is. It will be the mm-hmm. first portion will be speakers, and then the mm-hmm. last 45 minutes or so will be a breakout session. So really it would be about 3 hours sharing, you know, video.
Yeah. And she's got some awesome speakers. And again, I know a lot of them, but some I don't. So I'm super excited. We're going to get our females in our program house to watch it. So that's like 12. Our sober living, a lot of them work. So that's going to be a little, but we're mm-hmm. sharing it all over. I paid actually for the, what is that called? Because you got to pay for all those boosts now. So we have it through Instagram and through Facebook. We're promoting it on our end. And then Nathan does the beautiful newsletter. Gosh, nice. I can't tell you how much I love that. So we're promoting it every way that we can. And I'll promote it more throughout this as well. And we'll put the link in the description of this podcast.
Right. Actually, yeah, we can go back and change that because I didn't put that in this morning. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, so I love what you're doing. I have two questions. First, do you see this as an annual event moving forward?
You know, I hope so. We'll kind of see what develops from this.
One day at a time, right?
Exactly. Yes. One day at a time, one event at a time. So I think after March 8th, I might take a little break from event planning, but hopefully, you know, if women are interested again in next year, I've learned a lot through this process, kind of streamline it, hopefully for next year. So we'll see what happens.
And I guess the next question I have is there something in there if a man wants to watch, you know, is it something that, mm-hmm. that we would be able, would learn from? Would we obviously, you know, want to stay silent and not participate or what would our role be in this, if any, and understanding that, I don't know what to say actually. Yeah.
So is it, I mean, I feel like, for me as a woman, obviously, yes, it's going to be beautiful, amazing, uplifting, empowering. But there's so many men and transgender. Every human can benefit from another human's story. Sure. I don't care what they've been through or what, you know, even my book, everybody's like, well, what, and we'll talk about the book next too, but to give you some tips and me some tips, but you know, it's pink, you know, I mean, it's girly, I guess, per se, but also in reality, I know I've met so many men that have had body dysmorphia or childhood trauma, or just don't like the human that they are, or marriage, you know, situations. And I know a lot of men you know, throughout this, a lot of my close friends, like the vulnerability piece, like as a man, you know, even my, I can even speak with my own husband, like he's a hard West Virginia boy. And like, you know, being able to go to therapy together and grow as a unit, you know, and unpack, like, and move the layers like Shrek, you know, he is kind of like Shrek. We move those layers for the both of us. It's like so many men, even you, me and you, me and him are really close. Out of most of my staff, I feel like, you know, it just is what it is. We have this connection. And because it's so, it's that vulnerability connection that he can trust me and I can trust him with some, with some very interesting things that men go through just like women. So I feel like men can read my book for sure. But it's definitely going to resonate more with women just because it's some serious stuff in there. But I think this event, I think men should, I think we should get our men to watch it too, because it also opens, I feel, the eyes of men to what women really go through, even though they think they know what we go through, like really hearing women's stories. It's just impactful because I know from my own relationship, the stuff that I got to, and I still do talk to my husband about very vulnerable stuff that has happened through my addiction, childhood, whatever, is like made him really be open-minded to why I do have certain tendencies. So it's been a really cool process. It's been hard as shit. I mean, it's been hard.
We can,
I mean,
say that word.
Okay. This is hard. Like doing therapy and like really diving into your soul with your partner, it is hard, but it's also beautiful. So I think men will get a different perspective on women too. I think it would be important for the men to watch it, but that's
As a man, I'll say, like, there's always something to learn. Always something to learn.
Absolutely. And vice versa, you know.
And I've had several men reach out to me and other folks saying, you know, hey, I'm non-binary. Is this event for me? And I just say, have to say the same thing. It's like, all are welcome. You know, just like in, I would expect a recovery space to be welcoming and inclusive of all genders, non-genders, all y'all, right? So I really hope that anyone can feel like they can attend the event. And, you know, in terms of promotion, it may feel a little more directed towards women. And I struggled with that at first, honestly, because I was like, is this too exclusive? You know, am I excluding too many people? But I think sometimes in being hyper-focused on not wanting to exclude people, we actually don't include our own thoughts, feelings, stories. And kind of going back to, you know, I talk a lot about my faith on my blog, but honestly, for a long time, I struggled with sharing about my recovery pathway of faith. I identify as a Christian. And I know when I say that, sometimes people are like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. But one of the reasons I share about it is because that's been my experience and my story. And I found so much healing there. But again, I've been afraid to talk about it because I don't want to exclude anyone. Yet I know so many people who've had that experience, whether they, you know, identify as a Christian, are going to church, not going to church. A lot of us have had issues with church. I do a lot of writing about that experience, you know, in my book, actually. But, you know, it's, I think it goes back to just that being vulnerable and sharing. And one of the things I've learned in planning this event, I've really been working closely with a couple ladies who work for the Hispanic and Latino Addiction Technology Transfer Center. Let me tell you, I had no idea there was such a thing before planning this event. But they do so much work around language accessibility and promoting recovery in Latinx spaces. And one of the things I've learned from them a little bit, in, they may share more on this, but the concept of machismo, have you heard of this? But within Latin communities, it's this concept, and I don't know much about it, but kind of this unhealthy way that a lot of times folks who identify as male operate in their culture. And I'm learning more about this and how this impacts women's recovery in Latina spaces, you know? So there are all these like issues that are just interwoven that I think getting them out on the table. So having men attend the event, I think will be really helpful because, hey, this is just another opportunity for us to get radically vulnerable, which is something that I think recovery brings to the world, is the benefit and the positivity of just getting it all out there. You know, like, let's just lay it on the table so we can move past this and heal. And that's been my own experience. And hopefully this event can be that for other women and men and everyone out there on March 8th.
That's beautiful. Caroline, in honesty, we want to take a moment to pause here. We're going to go into a commercial break right now. When we get back, though, I'd love to pivot and talk about the books that I know you've got coming out, that you've got coming out in just days, 2/22/22. I think it's beautiful. So with that, we'll go to commercial and we'll be back in, I don't know, 90 seconds or so. Okay. Thank you.
Here at McShen, we believe in the McShen way, which is authentic recovery support service providers, people with lived experience, bringing that experience to those who need that lived experience in recovery.
Here at McShen, we believe in many things to support our mission. We believe in women empowerment.
What I love most about what we believe here at McShen is we believe in the authenticity of the peer-to-peer approach.
Here at the McShen Foundation, we believe in giving people opportunity.
Here at McShen, we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person.
At the McShen Foundation, we believe in helping people reach their full potential.
Here at the McShen Foundation, we believe in multiple pathways to recovery.
Here at McShen, we believe in placing principles before personalities to help spread hope.
Here at McShen, we believe that recovery is possible and that any person seeking recovery can become a more acceptable, responsible, and productive member of society.
Here at the McShen Foundation, we believe in self-discovery.
Here at McShen, we believe in saving lives and offering second chances.
Here at McShen, we believe you can do this.
Here at McShen Foundation, we believe that we can only keep what we have by giving away, which is why we continue to help others like us seek and find recovery.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Getting the Herd. And welcome back, Caroline. It's good to see you. And honestly, always good to see you. We were talking before the break about the Global Women's Roundtable. And, you know, one thing, we were talking about men and participation with that. And I wanted to actually follow up with what you were saying, because the importance of having safe spaces, inclusive spaces, but safe spaces for people who may not be comfortable. Well, I'll just put it right out there. So when I was in early recovery, I went to my first LGBTQ+ specific 12-step meeting. And I was really grateful, you know, as a person in recovery who identifies as gay and has, you know, for decades, and has learned through my recovery that the acceptance piece really is still not fully there. And going to that meeting was pretty profound, thinking, oh, cool, there's meetings for people like me. And then I walked into that meeting and it was a celebration for a straight man who had a straight speaker talking about very specific straight issues. I didn't feel excluded, but I didn't feel that warm blanket of safety and, oh, come join us. We can talk about our shared experience and the, you know, the traumas and things that are specific to the LGBTQ. I mean, especially, you know, specifically the gay men's population, you know, and have that safe place. So I haven't been back to that meeting since, and that was like 4 years ago. I have found other meetings and other outlets, and I actually, you know, I work on that. And, you know, it was a good lesson for me in that respect, because I understand why it's important sometimes to step back and recognize that this isn't about me. You know, I want to be a part of, but I also don't want to be a part of, I don't want to be in a space that makes somebody else not feel safe. Not because of me personally. I've learned that too. I mean, actually, I've learned that through urine screens. It's a whole other story. As a gay man doing a urine screen on other men, some inherent issues can come up with that. So I've learned that it's not always about me and I need to step back. So, you know, I hope that if you're a guy and you're listening and you're thinking about joining this, that you'll think about that, you know, being in those spaces, that we want to make sure that these are honest, safe spaces for women to explore and share experience and not feel, you know, constricted.
Well, thank you for sharing that and just being so open, you know, and vulnerable about your own experience. And I think that really speaks to, again, this idea that, yes, it's important to be inclusive and be welcoming for everyone. And at the same time, it's okay that sometimes, you know, we connect with folks who have that common ground with us, you know, like my, you know, mentor in recovery and other women that have helped support me have been women, you know, and have had a lot of similar experiences as me. And I can connect with that. And I think that's a beautiful thing about recovery, is we recognize, you know, that we all can really benefit when we connect with other women who have shared experiences, you know, similar interests, goals, you know, honesty. Speaking of the writing piece, I think that's one of the reasons why I connect so much with you and have just really enjoyed following your journey. And when you posted that your book was coming out, you had a video on Instagram and Facebook, I was just so excited for you, because I know, having going through that process, the work that is involved, the jumping over that self-doubt, and, you know, I still struggle with it sometimes, like, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing? I feel like God is calling me to this. And one hand, on the other hand, I'm like, you know, what do I have to say that anyone really will benefit from, you know? So it's just that back and forth. So anyways, I really look forward to reading your book. I know it's on pre-order now, and hopefully we'll be joining you and doing my little, you know, cover reveal soon here too, as well, once my book is out there.
I like the idea of a cover reveal.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, I can resonate with everything you just said, because in the reality of it was, what do people care, you know? And like, what, you know, it's like that low self-esteem, or like not feeling good enough, and imposter syndrome. I know me and you've talked about that a lot. And I think the reality of it is, if they buy it, they buy it. They don't, is how I'm looking at it, because I have a full-time job. I have children. My life is pretty fulfilling as it is. I feel, and I was just talking to one of my close friends, actually, he's buying 100 books. I would give him a shout out, but I don't want people to be hating. But so he's going to get 100 books for his organization today. And, you know, I think, but we were talking about, like, in this realm, right? The addiction recovery, you know, a lot of it is about, you know, don't do drugs, or, you know, you get your life back and all that beautiful stuff. But in the there's so much more that humans go through on a day to, like, when your story you just shared, like, on a day-to-day basis though. And like, that's what I want this book to help other women, not just those addicted, you know, because I, about 3 years ago, I really started diving into some positive women on Instagram, like body conscious, freedom, body freedom, just like using your voice, but using it in a somewhat elegant way, but very assertive, you know, owning who you are as a human on this planet. Because I'm just a big, they always hear me say, we have this one body, one life, you know, and it's like, we have to live it to the best of our ability. And for me, that's creating a book that is a super quick read. It is very traumatic, but beautiful, very honest, vulnerable, it take on my life, but also hopefully it'll help other women that not necessarily are addicted, but have had struggles. Like, I struggled with so many stuff for so many years. It was just such a painful process, but also, like, the time that I spent on, you know, it is my belly jiggling in this shirt. Like as low as, right. As just as little as something like that was huge for me, you know? And now it's like, I'm very healthy. I love to work out. I love my body. It created two humans. My husband adores me. So what the hell else do I care? You know, what else is there? You know what I mean? And a lot of, and I couldn't say that like 3 or 2 years ago, really, and until I really dove in. And then I wrote this book, and that was another whole spiritual healing, which, you know, writing your story, telling your story at a meeting or, you know, even the event that you're hosting. I mean, that's one thing, you know, it's a beautiful experience, but really being by yourself, I put my beats on, I listen to ocean music, and I just typed, and it's like, I'm crying. And it's like, it's a very emotional, but like really getting, cause I'm trying to get him to write one, but you know, to get it out on paper to the world, that's some vulnerable stuff. I mean, it really is. And the reality of it is I hope I can help other humans out there to try to make this world just a little bit more of a better place, because imagine all the time I can speak on my body image stuff like I spent that I could have been spending doing beautiful work or focusing on, like, I have to be my happiest in order to run this organization, but also be the mom, the wife, you know, the PTA, the all these committees I'm on and everything. Like if I'm literally in my skin squirming, I can't focus on, you know, what I'm doing as a human in that moment. So that's what this story is about. And Scattered Pink is a super cool, we'll get into that next week when we talk about the book, but
now that's this week.
Is that this week?
On the 17th.
Holy.
I know.
Well, we have to turn it. To tune in for that. And, you know, one of the things actually in beginning this writing journey, really when COVID started, I did a little bit of research on actual, you know, the process of writing and creativity. And there's actually, you know, smart people with a lot of degrees behind their name who say that the actual process of writing helps heal trauma and helps kind of rewire those parts of the brain that have been affected. And I found that process too, honestly. It's like a part of me is like, you know what, if no one reads this, or if, you know, a couple people read it, just the act in and of itself for me personally has been so healing. You know, I do trust that someone will benefit from it. And I know countless women will benefit from your book, but I advocate writing, sharing, you know, storytelling, like what we'll do at the event on March 8th, any type of creative process to get some of that out there, sharing in a meeting. I mean, that's a creative act, you know, when you're telling your story, when you're verbalizing what's going on internally, all of these things are healing for us. So I would love to see more, you know, recovery memoirs and different books out there. And at least from what my agent has said, apparently since COVID started, the number of people writing about specifically about their recovery journey is increasing. And I truly believe, I'll go back to that faith piece just a little bit, but you know, that God maybe is calling a lot of us to do that right now, because, you know, the world is hurting and we need more hope.
Gosh, I love that. Like the world is hurt to hope. And I think also, because you're going to have haters, right? I am a realist. Everyone knows me around here. Like you're going to have people like, why is this bitch writing a book? You know, and that's like the stuff that, you know, kept me from writing it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's get real, you know, but the reality of all of that too. And that's what, like, what really, you know, kept me hesitant, because I wrote the outline. Mine's chronological, blah, blah, blah. But I wrote the outline, and like, my husband, to be frank with you, after like a year or so talking about it, he looked at me and he said, just effing write the book. You know, I mean, that's what happened. So that's, and God put so many people in my life. Like it was a God thing. It was just this meeting I kept going to. So this editor, she owns her own publishing, and it was like, she worked out payments with me. So it just worked out beautifully. It is hard, but it worked out. And, you know, I think putting yourself out, why not? Like, why not? And if people think you suck, or you're a horrible person for what's in the book or whatever, I mean, that's on them. That's between them and their higher power, right? Mm-hmm. That's not my situation. And the two people that read it was my husband, because there's very deep stuff in there that a lot of people don't know, and my daughter that's now 20. So when they gave me the approval to, like, yes, take this to the world, that's like really when a lot of, like, you know, Ryan Hampton told me from the beginning, like, writing the book is one thing. The hardest part is getting the book out there. And then it's like, just take advantage of the beautifulness of writing the book. And then now it's like, super hard, you know, from that. But, you know, and but that was his thing. I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, but I follow Anna David, is another woman that I promote all the time. I met her through Ryan Hampton, through Mobilize a few years ago, and just, she's amazing. And all of her stuff is like, most of her stuff, all of her podcasts, everything is free. That's something to look into. I know you asked for tips and stuff for your book, but she is, has her own publishing company. She just celebrated 20 years in recovery. She's got 8 books out there and New York Times bestseller. So she's amazing. But I just dove into free stuff. I mean, you know, I don't have the money. I got a family and you know, I just dove into whatever I could find for free and then just started taking notes and then, you know, took the time, put on my beats. I have to have the ocean music. It's something about me and the ocean, and I have the ocean. And then I break down all my notes to my to-dos and what I need to do. And, you know, and it's kind of coming together on what it's going to be. I've reached out to some celebrities, man. I mean, what the hell? All they can say is no, or, you know, just celebrities that I admire, specifically women, and the things, the struggles that they're open about and stuff. And then some people in recovery that are celebrities as well. My housewives, you know, all of that. So, you know, and again, everyone can just say no, right? So, or, you know, whatever. So then we just try, right? Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Huh. You never know.
So no, do you have a title of your book? Or you're not revealing that yet?
Yeah, that's a little hush-hush right now. So we have to wait on that. But but I'm excited it will be out there. And I also do some blogging for the Grit and Grace Project. I'm a team writer for them, the Grit and Grace Project. It's an amazing website for women, has a ton of encouraging articles. I actually have my bracelet on today. It says Grit. So it reminds me, I had to wear it today for my interview with you all so I can, you know, have courage and step out there. And I also write regularly for In the Rooms as well. So, so you can check me out in some of those places too.
Cool.
The Grit and Grace Project. I've never heard of the project, but I've heard the grit and grace as an expression. Does that come from literature that I don't remember? Someone used it in another woman in recovery used that a few months ago, and I actually wrote it on my board. I have a whole bunch of things on my board, and I wrote that. And now, yeah,
that's really neat. Well, you know, I'm not sure. I know that the topic is really popular. So it was funny. One night I was laying in bed, and sometimes this happens. I kind of have my quiet, like, devotional reading time before bed, and I just couldn't get the phrase grit and faith out of my mind. And I'm just like, it kept going over and over. And I'm like, well, this, you know, should the title of my book be something about grit and faith? So anyways, I Googled it. Well, and I came upon this women's blog called the Grit and Grace Project, and they were accepting submissions for articles. And I was like, So I just ran, I'm just, you know, well, I'll just see, you know, and I had never had anything published before like that. And they immediately reached back out and said, hey, we love this. We want to publish it. Will you be a team writer? And I was like, oh my gosh. So they really helped encourage me. And so now I'm a part of this women's community of other writers, and I write regularly for them. So I'm not sure where the name came from, but I know that those two concepts in my life are like foundational, you know, having grit and the strength to get through life's hardships and hard times and all of the things that all of us have been through in our recovery stories, you know, and then the grace and just that gift of healing and blessing and beauty. I mean, you mentioned my twins, all of these things that are just, I feel like these acts of grace that I have in my life now that, you know, if when I was 14 and really struggling, if someone would have come to me and said, hey, here's a picture of your life when you're, I'm going to be 40 in a couple weeks, y'all. Okay. But here's your life at 40. I would have just fallen over. I mean, there's no way I would have believed anyone. I didn't know I was going to live past to 30. You know, I didn't think I would. So anyways, it's a gift. It's a grit and grace life. And yeah, but please check them out too. They're just phenomenal ladies and great stuff over there.
Cool. I'll follow them. Are they on Instagram too or just Facebook?
Yep. Instagram too.
Awesome.
I don't have an Instagram account. I'm past 40.
So I'm 41. I rock my Insta.
Well, so, good for you.
Well, yeah, I probably should. No, I mean, seriously. I did at one point. Yeah.
I love Instagram.
No, I didn't mean that disparaging. I just meant I don't even know how to. You'll have to show me how to start.
Oh, yeah, I can hook you up.
There you go. 40 is the extra large birthday. Are you familiar with the XL? It's in Roman numerals, 40 is XL, so it's 40 is the extra large birthday. And I'm 45, so I did this.
I have been through it.
I'm only admitting to 40. You're feeling empowered?
Yeah.
I am. It's like, I think as women too, we're just like, you know, kind of unbombarded. I got an email from a dermatology clinic, like for a sale on Botox. And I was like, what? How did they find me? You know, how did they know that I was like, do I need Botox now? I mean, the other day, my daughter's like, Mom, what are those squiggly lines on your forehead? I'm like, oh my God.
I have the two in the middle.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden. But anyways, there's a lot of pressure that gets put on women as we age, but I'm trying to embrace, you know, I'm trying to tell myself like, no, I don't need those shots. And no, let's embrace this because I feel more me than I've ever felt. And I feel more kind of bold to just like be myself. And, you know, so anyways, I think it's going to be beautiful. 40 is the new 30, from what I've heard anyways. I'm going to embrace this time, but yeah, celebrate along with me on social media. I danced last year for my 39th because I was almost 40. So we'll see what I post, in a couple weeks. You'll have to check it out.
I loved it.
I danced last night at the halftime show. They celebrated. They snuck out Fitty. He was upside down.
That was actually a really good show.
And I just had my dogs cause my son and, my husband were at their friend's house. I went there to eat and then I went home with the dogs and then my dogs, because I was screaming. So I put it on my stories on Insta, but then they were barking and I was like, yeah, y'all are barking for Snoop Dogg. Anyway, I love it. It brought back so many memories. Most of the memories were getting high and getting drunk after all those songs. I did drugs so much, but now it's like that's all pretty much Tina Turner and hip hop is pretty much all my playlists for.
Was Tina Turner on last night?
No. But I was rocking her this morning while I was lifting weights. I love me some Tina. She's one of my all time faves. She's my jam. Oh, yeah. Anyway, that I love embarrassing my children too, so that's fun. But well, cool. Well, any last? I guess the biggest thing is thank you for being such a beautiful, you know, voice in the world and face and everything for the women recovery movement. We need more women coming out and sharing their stories. You know, so I'm excited about the 8th. We're gonna get snacks and stuff for our program house. I already let Dixie and Monique know, so we'll live stream that from our program house, and I'll be here watching it. But yeah, so good luck, and just let me know of anything. I mean, I'll help you the best I can with your book. I mean, I'm just kind of trial and error, just seeing what works and doesn't. Ryan's gonna help me a bunch. I'm doing a Zoom with him today, but
anything I can do to support you too. I mean, I would love to get, you know, something up on my website and we can talk about that a little bit, but I would love to support your work too.
Yeah. Women supporting women. Hashtag.
That's on Insta.
You got to use them. Tag.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. And congratulations again on all the hard work. And you have a phenomenal featured speaker right here in Honesty Lilac. So I'm eager to listen in and partake as well. So thank you for joining us, Caroline Beidler. And thank you, Honesty, for being here with us. And Justin, as always, we will see you tomorrow for, wait for it. Tomorrow it's, I'm going to step back. Testify Tuesday. So tomorrow we'll have Walt on the show testifying. And actually tomorrow, he's got a pretty heavy topic. So tomorrow should be a pretty awesome show. It's gonna be a lot of talk. And then Thursday we have Honesty back here in the show. Honesty's gonna be talking about her new book. What's it called? Scattered Pink, something like that.
Scattered Pink.
Yeah. We're gonna be talking about that exclusively. Getting ready for the launch on 2/22/22, which is very exciting. And from there, we're gonna see how the rest of the month plays out. We've got a good full month, the rest of the month for you. So. Again, thank you, Caroline, for joining us, and good luck with everything.
Take
care. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Honesty Liller. I am the CEO of the McShen Foundation and a woman in long-term recovery. Since May 27, 2007, I have not used drugs or alcohol. Woo-hoo! Thank you so much to the Richmond Times-Dispatch and all of our voters for getting the Herd podcast. Those podcasts are amazing. Not only has it helped thousands upon thousands of people in their recovery, as well as family members, but it has helped me in my personal recovery. I get to listen to them now in my car through Spotify and iHeartRadio. And it's just really, really important for us to be innovative in the addiction field and the recovery community. So when COVID hit, we had to be innovative. You know, we really had to think of like, what can we do to reach people that cannot go to 12-step meetings? Smart recovery, faith-based, whatever, that we're shutting down constantly. So we were innovative here at McShen. Let's start podcast. So with Todd, John, Alex, and some other staff, you know, we all just kind of jumped in who can do what. And with Todd's lead and John's lead, the podcasts have been amazing and we're still doing them today. So I want to thank you for all of your votes and all of your energy and all of your support of our mission of healing families and saving lives. Thanks.